الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. I will just call Yusri for 1 second.
No problem. So you like Dubai? I'm going next month, the end of December.
Yeah.
Well, so Abu Dhabi. But
what
Abu Dhabi, but it's the same thing. It's an hour away.
Yeah, go to
Did
Dubai.
Did you go to Abu Dhabi?
Or no, Abu Dhabi is more conservative.
It's more family oriented. I've been before. My husband's from, well, my husband is Syrian, but he grew up in Abu Dhabi. Yeah.
Dubai,
it's more fun.
Yeah,
it is.
And you know, if
but
you want
a lot more showy, you know. Like,
yeah, but if you want to spend money and go, like, there is. Mm-hmm. If you want to just, me and my son were there. We were tired, and we were supposed to stay there a whole day, but he was like, I want to go home. So I was like, I'm in Dubai. I am not gonna stay in a hotel and just rest.
Mm-mm.
Get your butt up. Let's go out. Let's go out to eat. Let's go see the fountains. Let's go to the mall.
Oh, I love the fountains.
And that's what I did. And we got up. We went to the aquarium. We went to the fountains.
Oh, I like the aquarium.
And I was like, looking for the fountains. And I was like, but we're hungry. And I really just want to eat some American food. I really was just like,
which is easy in Dubai.
Yes.
They even have Papa John's.
Yeah. And you just...
Really?
Yeah.
Syria doesn't have like this because they don't allow American businesses.
I've been to Damascus.
Yeah. Yeah. You can get Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah.
It's like the only thing.
There's like a hamburger joint, but they made the burgers out of lamb.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In Egypt, you find everything. Yeah. You find Pizza Hut, cheese.
Yeah.
We didn't. I was not going anywhere in those places while I was there.
But every now and then you're like, I want to eat something normal.
At the end, when I was in Dubai,
you get sick of kebabs.
You know, we didn't eat much kebabs. I ate a lot of homemade food and a lot of not too much meat because I'm not a big
meat eater.
I like chicken and I really wanted to eat. I fell in love with kosheri.
Oh my God, kosheri!
My son was like, Mom, can I buy me a shirt that says I love kosheri?
Kosheri is very easy to make.
What is it? I've never had it.
Kosheri is
lentils
the
and macaroni.
But if you know, I have kosheri, somewhat kosheri here.
Yes.
Not the same.
No.
The
sauce and the onion.
Yeah. I've never had this.
It's rice, pasta, lentil, onions. A little bit of sauce on top, a little bit of garlic,
and so what? Kosheri.
That
kosheri will make you like this.
Yeah. 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 And rice.
But you walk a lot.
Oh, that's all I eat anyway.
Yeah.
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 You walk.
Yeah, it's different lifestyle.
Different.
And whenever I cook at home, it's always pasta.
I know.
I
eat pasta and rice every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
No, it's not good.
Why I have to run a lot.
They're biking and running.
Macaroni
bechamel. You know macaroni bechamel also? This is
I don't know how to make it. My father-in-law makes it. We call him Chef Badia. He's a good cook.
Macaroni bechamel?
Yes, this is an Egyptian.
Yeah.
It's really
white
good.
Sauce.
Yes.
Like bechamel sauce.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
I had this... bread with meat inside of the bread. And very thin.
This is called hawashi.
Yes, hawashi. Everybody eat hawashi. And
because you were at the time of Eid also, this is the time of meat.
Meat.
It's straight meat, you know.
Yes, for Eid, after prayer, eat meat.
Yes.
I was like, it's...
Yes,
in
the breakfast. Breakfast, you must
meat
eat
for breakfast.
A whole table of meat. Oh, and it's so funny because if you want to tell them, no, no.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
Inshallah, today we will start a series of classes regarding oppression, which is in Arabic called zulm. And actually, in these classes, we will learn about what is the definition of oppression, what are the types of oppression, who are the oppressors, and what is the punishment for those oppressors in life and in the hereafter, so that, inshallah, we will always plan to be away from this very bad, actually, disease of the heart and very bad attitude in life. At the beginning, sister, we will read a verse of the Quran from Surah number 30, verse number 41. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليثيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم And on the day when the hour 41 Evil sins and disobedience to Allah has appeared on land and sea because of what the hands of men have earned, their oppression and evil deeds, that He, Allah, may make them taste a part of that which they have done in order that they may return by repenting to Allah and begging His pardon.
Okay. So actually, this is the English translation of this verse of the Quran, but actually it is not so accurate because the word al-fasad in Arabic one means corruption. Okay, so the translation of this verse of the Quran is that corruption has appeared on the land and sea because of what the hands of men have earned. Okay, it is not the disobedience. Okay, so I have to correct for you this. Okay, so what is the meaning of this, sister? This means that corruption has been established in the whole of our lives. Divorce, abuse, same-sex marriage, and abortion have become the pillars of social system. Usury, unemployment, bankruptcy have become the pillars of the economy. Superstition, technology, idol worship, sex and money have become the new gods. As Allah the Creator clarified in the above verse of the Quran that the cause of corruption is man. Corruption is are all around in our life and we are the cause of that corruption. Actually, because the human being oppresses themselves and they oppress others and they transgresses the bounties set by Allah the Almighty. Today, inshallah, we will start the series of classes related to oppression. And again, oppression in Arabic is called zulm. The word oppression is the opposite of justice. What is the meaning of oppression or al-zulm? It means injustice, aggression, prevention aright, doing the inappropriate, and it also means darkness. Okay, these are the means of the word oppression. Actually, we must remember that the only one who has the power to divine rights, obligations, trust, lawful, unlawful, aggression, crime, bad or evil, is Allah the Almighty and not man. Accordingly, the definition of oppression in Islam is the aggression against rights without a divine permit. This is what we will learn in these classes. Okay? We will learn about aggression against the rights without a divine permit. Okay, this is the definition of oppression. But at the beginning, sisters, let us have a reminder regarding justice in Islam, so that inshallah we will be clear about the rights in Islam, about the justice in Islam, and then inshallah we can learn about oppression from next class, inshallah, the coming class. At the beginning, we will learn about Islam as a religion of justice. All individuals are equal before the Islamic code of law and the appointed Muslim judge. The penalties, judgment, legal sentences are applicable to all races and classes of people without any distinction. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that in Islam, if I am rich, if I am poor, I am educated, not educated, okay, irrespective of my race, irrespective of my class, we are all equal in front of the law. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, by Allah, if Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, stole, I shall cut off her hand. This means that even if his daughter, and Fatima was the most beloved of his four daughters, he is swearing by Allah that if his daughter, the most beloved one to him, stole, he shall cut off her hand. This is the Islamic law regarding those whom they steal in Islam. Actually, so this is, sister, this is an outstanding example of the justice in Islam. All Muslims are equal in front of the law. The message and invitation of Islam is international and universal for all humanity, with a comprehensive code of beliefs, morals, ethics for every walk of life. Islam laid down the principles of justice, fairness, equality, freedom, prosperity, success, truthfulness for man on the earth. Actually, sisters, if you don't feel that this is if you don't feel that this is not the reality on the earth, this is because Muslims are not following the law of Islam. It is not because Islam is not the religion of justice, equality, and freedom and prosperity. Actually, Islam formulates a unique system of rights and obligations that provides for the provides for and preserves the following five basic needs of human existence: preservation of the divine religion, preservation of the self, preservation of the mind, of the honor family, and the wealth. We will learn today in details about the fact that Islam preserves the five basic needs of human, and this will make us realize that Islam is the religion of justice, and then, inshallah, we will learn more about the rights in Islam. Let us first start by learning about Islam and the basic essential needs. Islam guarantees the basic human needs in its divine and unique legal system. Number one, preservation of the divine religion. Islam is the perfect and complete divine revelation from Allah to maintain for his prosperity, from Allah to mankind for his prosperity and salvation. We must realize, sister, that all the prophets, Prophet Moses, Nuh, Ibrahim, and Jesus, all were Muslims. Islam, sisters, means to submit to Allah. Okay, this is the meaning. They were Muslim, they were all submitting to Allah, and they were all sent to the people with the general religion of Islam, worshipping none but one God, Allah. We will learn now from the Quran about this fact, because there are many Muslims and non-Muslims whom they are under the impression that Islam is the religion, Islam is the revelation which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the one who called for. No, this is wrong. Islam is the religion which all the prophets were calling for, submission to one God. So you will tell, or you will ask, what are your proofs? I will give you now many proofs for this, and these proofs are on the tongue of those prophets, so that we will be sure that Islam is the religion which every human being must believe in, submission to one God. We will start with Surah number 21, verse number 25. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أرسلنا من قبلك من رسول إلا نوحي إليه أنه لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدون. سورة number 21 verse number 25.
And we send any messenger before you, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, but reveal to him saying لا إله إلا أنا. None has the right to be worshipped by I, Allah. So worship me alone and none else.
So actually, this is a proof from Allah the Almighty that all the messengers were sent with one message. None has the right to be worshipped but Allah. We will read again, sisters, from Surah number 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, from verse number 130, 131, 132.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يرغب عن إبراهيم إلا من سفه نفسه ولقد اصطفيناه في الدنيا وإنه في الآخرة لمن الصالحين إذ قال له ربه أسلم قال أسلمت لرب العالمين ووصى بها إبراهيم بنيه ويعقوب يا بني إن الله اصطفى لكم الدين فلا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. We will read also 133. أم كنتم شهداء إذ حضر يعقوب الموت إذ قال لبنيه ما تعبدون من بعدي قالوا نعبد إلهك وإله آبائك إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق إلها واحدا ونحن له مسلمون.
And to turn away from the religion of Ibrahim, Islamic monotheism, except him who befools himself. Truly we chose him in this world, and verily in the hereafter he will be among the righteous. When his Lord said to him, submit, be a Muslim, he said, I have submitted myself to the Lord of the Alameen. And this submission to Allah, Islam, was enjoined by Ibrahim upon his sons, and by Jacob, saying, O my sons, Allah has chosen for you the true religion, then die not except in the faith of Islam as Muslims. Or were you witnesses when death approached Jacob, when he said to his sons, What will you worship after me? They said, We shall worship your Ilah, God Allah, the Ilah of your fathers, Ibrahim, Ishmael, Isaac, one Ilah, and to him we submit in Islam.
Okay. Also, sister, we will read from Surah number 3, verse number 90. الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الدين عند الله الإسلام وما اختلف الذين أوتوا الكتاب إلا من بعد ما جاءهم العلم بغيا بينهم ومن يكفر بآيات الله فإن الله سريع الحساب.
Truly the religion with Allah is Islam. Those who were given the scripture, Jews and Christians, did not differ except out of mutual jealousy after knowledge had come to them. And whoever disbelieves in the ayat, proofs, evidences, revelations of Allah, then surely Allah is swift in calling to account.
We will read also, sister, from the same surah, surah number 3, verse number 85, regarding the fact that Islam is the religion accepted by Allah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَمَن يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَن يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ.
And whoever seeks a religion other than Islam, it will never be accepted of him, and in the hereafter he will be one of the losers.
So actually, sister, this is clear from these verses of the Quran that Islam is the message of all the prophets, and Islam, submission to one God, is the religion which will be accepted on the Day of Judgment. Now we will learn about Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Prophet Muhammad, his name is Muhammad ibn Abdullah. This means Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. He is the final prophet and messenger from messenger of Allah. He has been sent to all mankind with the message of the Holy Quran. We will read related to this fact from Surah number 33, verse number 40.
When I was starting to learn about Islam, I learned about Islam not through the Quran. I learned it through the Bible. Because if you look at the Bible, you look at the life of Jesus, you will see Islam. You will see the religion. If you see in St. John, I don't know the exact verse, Jesus, peace be upon him, says, I must go, for he calls the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by two names. He calls him, I think, the helper and the messenger. I'm not 100% sure, but it's by two names. I must go, for he can come, and he will testify for what I have said. Okay. So that's the way I learned it, because since I was little, always in church, always, yeah. always Bible studies, always, like my grandmother. So I said to her, if this is a true religion, let me see what my Bible says. And if you go and look at the in the Bible, you look at the life of Moses, God tells Moses, I will select from your line one prophet, the one. And he describes him. And if you see how he describes him, it's Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because he says he will not speak his words. And he will speak a different language. He will
language.
Be different.
Not from the.
And he will be. He describes him how he will come. Like, and if you think, you know, I ask my grandmother, who is he that he's talking about? Oh, it's so and so. No, so and so is not this person. And if you ask now, because I have debates with my family, say who in John, Jesus says in the Last Supper. I must go for him to come. He has yet to come. And he will make everything, seal everything. So I asked my grandmother, my aunt, oh, this is, and they tell me, this is the, what is it? The Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
No.
I've heard that.
They say the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. But no, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. The Holy Ghost came to Isaac, to other prophets. Mm-hmm. In the Bible it says, Jesus says he has yet to come.
Yes,
and he calls him by two names.
Yes.
And he calls him the helper. He calls him, I think, the messenger also. Who is this man?
Yes.
Who?
And you know, in the Quran, it is written that Prophet Jesus will mention that, you know, a prophet will come after me and his name is Ahmed.
Yes. And if you know, if you look back, if you look at the history of the Bible, because you have to look and see. You have to see, it's not written in English. So you have to see what the way it was written in Hebrew, and you go back and you look and you say, okay, what is, you mix, you put together.
Yes.
Also, you don't look, if you want to just see Jesus, the way he acted, he would pray at a certain time. So who prays at a certain time? You see, okay, I want to follow Jesus, because you follow his way. Jesus, who prays a certain time, is Jesus. And every time he entered, he said, peace be upon them. It says in the Bible.
Really?
Yes, if you know the Bible, it says, when it, if you look at John.
I used to read it a lot, but I don't know, I haven't read it much.
I read it. I read it a lot to this is how I learned about Islam. Because I said, you know, this is what I know. I know the Bible.
And Allah now is clarifying all of this, you see?
Yes, but if you see, Jesus said to his people, he told them, you must say, peace be upon you. Who does this now? If you look at it, who lives the way Jesus lived?
The Muslims.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So now, sisters, we will read from Surah number 33, verse number 40. But you know, this is very good knowledge, you know, you give us, because I don't know about the Bible, you know, and I don't know that, you know, in the Bible, you know, this is the clear proof that Prophet Muhammad will come. So, you know, this is very good.
The Bible is very clear.
Very
to
clear.
Moses and to Jesus. But Jesus, a lot, if you know his life and you know the Bible, you can go to John and you can see. And you will see, not only by the way Jesus lived, and you compare it, which religion follows it, you will see Islam.
You see?
And you will see, who is this man? Jesus says in the Bible, he must come.
This is very good, Alhamdulillah.
And it's in John. And not only that, I did a lot of research on my own, you know.
الرحمن الرحيم ما كان محمد أبا رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين وكان الله بكل شيء عليما.
Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is not the father of any of your men, but he is the messenger of Allah and the last end of the prophets, and Allah is ever all knower of everything.
Okay, so sister, this is a proof that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is just a prophet or a messenger. And we in Islam, we worship Allah, only Allah. We don't worship the prophets. And there is no human being, even Prophet Muhammad, who is not more than a normal human being. Okay, because he is clarifying here that he is not the father of any of the men, but he is the messenger of Allah and the last of the prophets. Okay, and actually we will learn now about the last verse of the Quran, which was revealed just before the death of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, from Surah number 5, verse number 30. This is the proof that Prophet Muhammad was about to die, okay, and Prophet Muhammad is just a human being, a prophet, a messenger, not more than this. We worship only one God, Allah the Almighty. Number 5, verse number 3. Sorry, yes, not 33. Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. حرمت عليكم الميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير وما أهل لغير الله به والمنخنقة والموقوذة والمتردية والنطيحة وما أكل السبع إلا ما ذكيتم وما ذبح على النصب وأن تستقسموا بالأزلام ذلكم فسق اليوم يئس الذين كفروا من دينكم فلا تخشوهم واخشون اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا فمن اضطر في مخمصة غير متجانف لإثم فإن الله غفور رحيم.
This day I acted your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and had chosen for you Islam as your religion. But as for him who is forced by severe hunger with no inclination to sin, such can eat these above mentioned meats, then surely Allah is all forgiving, most merciful.
Actually, the last part, you know, is different, but the, Allah sent this message, meaning that Prophet Muhammad is about to die, because in this verse of the Quran it is mentioned, this day I have perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and I have chosen for you Islam as your religion. This means that the revelation is complete and the messenger is about to die. And he died soon after this last verse of the Quran. This is about Prophet Muhammad, what he said about himself. He said, my example and the example of the prophets who preceded me is like a person who built a beautiful house. The house was perfect and magnificent, except for a place of a single brick in one corner. People who saw that house and admired it, but they wondered, why didn't the owner complete that missing single brick? I am that missing brick. I am the final prophet for mankind on the earth. Okay, so this means that all the prophets, they came with the same message. All the prophets, they built one house, okay, but there was a missing, you know, brick, and this is the final brick, which is Prophet Muhammad, the seal of all the prophets. Okay, this is the proof that there will be no other religion on the earth. There is no more revelation. This is the last revelation from Allah, the Lord of the heavens and the earth. Number 2 regarding Islam is the preservation of the self. Number 1 is the preservation of the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We said divine. There is a preservation of the divine religion. Number 2, Islam preserves the self. Okay, human life is sacred and a gift from Allah the Creator. Islam has imposed certain duties on everyone in respect of human life. Because, sisters, on the Day of Judgment, you will be questioned about yourself. Allah will question every one of us about what about your health? What about your wealth? What about your time? Okay. What about even your youth? You know, the time when you were strong. All these questions you will be questioned about. So in Islam, the rules of Islam preserve all these rights, so that you cannot. After you will learn about this preservation, you will realize why Allah will question us about all what I mentioned now. Islam has imposed certain duties in every one of us in respect to protection of the human life. Man does not own his soul or his own body. Rather, it is a trust. It is not allowed for anyone to intentionally harm himself or carry out any type of suicidal crime. We will read now from Surah number 4, verse number 29 regarding this fact. So that, sisters, suicide is prohibited in Islam because your spirit is a trust. You are not supposed to choose, you know, when to commit suicide or when to continue this life. This is not, you know, your right, because your soul and your body are a trust from Allah. Surah number 4, verse number 20. وَلَا تَقْتُلُ أَنفُسَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا. And don't kill yourselves, okay? Surely Allah is the most merciful to you. So killing the self is not allowed in Islam, and it is actually considered a great sin. One of the great sins is to kill yourself, because yourself, you are not owning yourself or your body, it is just a trust. Man must maintain proper nutritional care to satisfy the requirement for his good health. He is not allowed to deprive himself of permissible food and drink and clothes and proper care. Again, sisters, in Islam, I am not allowed, you know, to say, you know, sisters, I am very religious. I don't care for the worldly life. I am living only for the hereafter. So I will not eat chicken. I will not eat fish. I will not eat proteins. I will just eat bread, you know, bread and salt, for example, and drink water. That's it. Because I am very religious. Then you tell me, but Sister Mona, this is dangerous for your health. Because for your health, you must eat carbohydrates, and you must eat proteins and fats, and you must have vitamins and minerals. This is not good for your health. I tell you, sister, this is my health. I am free to do what I want to do with my health. This is not accepted in Islam. In Islam, you must take care of your health and of your body, because this is a trust from Allah. It is not the rule of Islam that some people will say, you know, because I am very religious and I will not, you know, enjoy any of the enjoyments of the worldly life regarding the food or the drink and the clothes. No, this is not accepted in Islam. Islam is the religion of moderation. You must be in the middle. I am not supposed, you know, to eat all the time or to live to eat, because there are people whom they live to eat. No, I am supposed to eat so that this will support me to worship Allah. So if I need the support of my health must be in a good condition, so I must eat all and different kinds of food in a moderate way, so that inshallah I can support my health, because my health and my body and my spirit are trusts from Allah. We will read about this from Surah number 7, verse number 31 and 32. I am not supposed to do diet, okay, for 6 months, because I want to lose my weight to have the best shape for my husband. But unfortunately, because of this diet, severe diet, you know, now I can't pray standing, because I become very weak. Yes, I become very weak. Yes, I will only pray sitting. I can't. I am very weak. But you know, this is my health. I have the freedom.
If it affects your worship.
Yes, yes, not only worship. Even if it affects, you know, my responsibilities. You know, yes. As a mother, my responsibilities as a wife. Even if I am working, suppose I have, you know, this diet, and this diet makes me to become very weak, so I cannot go to work. And this work, you know, is the support for my family. You get my point? So you must you must balance everything. And Islam is actually guiding us for that balance, you know, not for the opposite. You know, some people are under the impression that Islam is against enjoying anything in the worldly life. No, Islam, you know, is guiding us to have a balanced, you know, personality. To be a balanced human being in everything. When you love, you love, you know, with a moderate attitude. When you hate, with moderate attitude. Try not to hate. But when you enjoy with a moderate attitude. Everything must be in the middle. Okay, not just to forget completely about the worldly life, okay, or to enjoy it 100% and to forget about, you know, your duties in the worldly life. You know, this is actually, sister, what is the best teaching of Islam. Be all the time, you know, in the middle of everything. You know, if suppose for me, I like, for example, to eat chocolates. For example, no, I must be in the middle, not to eat. In spite of the fact I love chocolate too much, but I am supposed to be, you know, in a moderate attitude with everything in life. Because, you know, when you are in a moderate attitude, sisters, if Allah planned for you to lose something, it will be easy for you to lose it. Suppose I love to eat chocolate too much, but by time I have problem in my liver, and the physician advice is that I am not supposed to eat chocolate ever. It will be a big disaster in my life. But, you know, if I am, you know, in having a moderate attitude with chocolate, I like it very much, but all the time I was not eating too much. So I protect myself, you know, from having the illness, and I protect myself from addiction. The worst enemy after shaitan to human being is addiction. Any addiction. Any kind of addiction will make you will make you to be weak in front of that addiction. Addiction controls the human being. If you love your kids too much, this will be addiction. They will control your life. If you love your husband too much, and he will tell you, you know, I'm not happy to be a Muslim, let us leave this religion. For example, I know one sister, she's born a Muslim, you know, and actually one day she mentioned that her husband becomes Jewish. He decided to change his religion. And he told her, you must change your religion. You see, if she loves him too much, she will change her religion. You must know this. You know, I am always now, you know, after the word addiction. Because addiction is not only to addict alcohol. No. The addiction is addiction for any. If you addict to love, you know, the best clothes, you know, you will sell anything in your life. You will sell your husband. You will sell your kids because you must. Because now addiction controls you. So all the time, yes, you know, I always mention this to my daughter regarding the iPhone, regarding the computer. Yes, this is addiction. And it controls life. It destroys life, to tell you the truth. You know, if you have the addiction to watch the television for 3 hours every day, you can't. And while you are watching the television, you are eating. You know? Yes. While you are not aware, you are just eating. Because this is the time of enjoyment. I am working too hard. I am not enjoying anything in life. Let me enjoy. But after three
hours... You know, when you're watching television, it seems like it just like sucks you in.
Yes.
And you become so like anxious.
Yes. Yes. This is the addiction. Yeah. You know, it controls you.
I have like bad habits, yeah. You know. And then I realized somebody told me, you know, they told me Allah accounts for every minute. So I sometimes say, okay, what did I do? Yeah. What did I learn? Allah, maybe you don't know, only Allah knows. And my last minute was reading on the TV.
Yes,
I like to listen. I like to
listen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, we read from Surah number, verse number 31 and 32. يا بني آدم خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد وكلوا واشربوا ولا تسرفوا إنه لا يحب المسرفين قل من حرم زينة الله التي أخرج لعباده والطيبات من الرزق قل هي للذين آمنوا في الحياة الدنيا خالصة يوم القيامة كذلك نفصل الآيات لقوم يعلمون.
O children of Adam, take your adornment by wearing your clean clothes while praying and going around the Kaaba, and eat and drink, but waste not by extravagance. Certainly he likes not al-musrifun. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who has forbidden the adornment with clothes given by Allah, which he has produced for his slaves, and at-tayyibat? Of food. Say, they are in the life of this world for those who believe,
and exclusively for them, believers, on the day of resurrection. The disbelievers will not share them. Thus we explain the ayat in detail for a people who have knowledge.
Okay. Now, sisters, we will learn also from the Quran that Allah, the Exalted, admonished Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he abstained from eating honey in order to please one of his wives. We will read now from Surah number 66, verse number 1. This means that I am not supposed to stop eating honey, which is a cure for the sake of any human being. I must take care of my health, and my health is the most important for me. It is a trust. Surah number 66, verse number 1. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها النبي لما تحرم ما أحل الله لك تبتغي مرضات أزواجك والله غفور رحيم.
O Prophet, why do you forbid for yourself that which Allah has allowed to you, seeking to please your wives? And Allah is all-forgiving, most merciful.
Okay. So now, sisters, we learn about the food and the drink and the clothes, and that actually we must preserve ourselves and take care of our health. We must also learn, sisters, that the right of security and protection to a person and all the family is the most basic of all the human rights. All citizens in Muslim society must not be frightened or threatened by words, actions, or weapons. It is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it is not allowed for a Muslim to frighten another Muslim. He also said, truly your blood, honor, and your wealth are unlawful to one another. So this means that also we have the right to have the security, okay, and that not to fight. No one has the right actually to frighten or to threaten anyone by words, actions, or weapons. Okay, now we will learn about the preservation of the mind in Islam. Intelligence is the basic of all responsible actions and accountability. Islam prohibits intoxications that impair the activity of the mind and degrade man. Actually, sister, the word wine in Arabic means khamr. Khamr means cover of the mind. You see? So alcohol and other drugs are one of the major causes of crimes in society. Okay? Because actually, you always notice that when there is a car accident, the first thing to do is to measure the level of alcohol in blood. Okay? So this is one of the major causes of crimes. And also, it is a burden on the economy. Yesterday, I read in Houston Chronicle that addiction for the drugs cost USA $600 billion per year. You see, I read it by myself, you know, regarding the rehab and regarding the inability to work. You see, sisters, so actually this is the preservation of the mind. Allah, let us read now about the fact that intoxications are forbidden in Islam, Surah number 5, verse number 90 and 91, and it is for the sake of the preservation of the mind and the health. بسم الله الرحمن Surah 5 verse number 90 and 91 يا أيها الذين آمنوا إنما الخمر والميسر والأنصاب والأزلام رجس من عمل الشيطان فاجتنبوه لعلكم تفلحون إنما يريد الشيطان أن يوقع بينكم العداوة والبغضاء في الخمر والميسر ويصدكم عن ذكر الله وعن الصلاة فهل أنتم منتهون.
O you who believe, intoxicants, all kinds of alcoholic drinks, and gambling, and al-ansab, and al-azlam, arrows for seeking luck or decision, are an abomination of shaitan's handiwork. So avoid that in order that you may be successful. Shaitan wants only to excite enmity and hatred between you with intoxicants and gambling, and hinder you from the remembrance of Allah and from as-salat. So will you not then abstain?
Okay. Also, sisters, regarding the preservation of the mind, we will learn about education as a basic need for all. Education in the Islamic society is a right of all the individuals and a required moral duty of every capable person. We will read now from the Quran, from Surah number 39, verse number 9, about the importance of learning the knowledge and having the education. Surah number 39, verse number 9. Rahman al-Rahim. قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون إنما يتذكر الألباب. If you will read from the translation 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you will start from the fifth line with the word say, are those who know equal to those who know not. Okay? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It is only men of understanding who will remember. So of, you know, to is to have knowledge. Okay, those whom they are having knowledge are not equal to those whom they are not having knowledge in the sight of Allah. This is related to education. All forms of education, not only Islamic education. Okay, in Islam, you must learn all forms of education. You must learn geography, you must learn history, you must learn languages, and you must learn also Islamic education. Okay, all forms of education, you know, is actually a must in the Muslim society. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, seeking knowledge is obligatory on every Muslim. Now we will learn about the preservation of honor and family. As I repeated many times, the family unit is the basic fundamental unit in the Muslim community. In Islam, marriage is the only legal bond between a man and a woman. Islam strictly prohibits adultery and homosexuality. We will read now from Surah number 17, verse number 32. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا.
And come not near to unlawful sex. Verily it is a fahisha. Anything that transgresses its limits, a great sin, and an evil way that leads one to hell unless Allah forgives him.
So this means, the sister, that this is, you know, same-sex marriage or same... No, this is not, this is adultery, you know? Yes, it is a great sin, okay? To have a sexual relation without, you know, a contract, the contract of marriage. Actually, sisters, and in Islam, regarding marriage, it must be based on affection and mercy, as we learned before. This is mentioned in Surah number 30, verse number 21, but I mentioned this verse in my classes more than 50 times. So if you want to read it, we can read it. If you already learn it, no problem. Islam is based on affection, and marriage is based on affection and mercy. In Islam, we will read it for the sake of of ladies. Ladies is looking for it. Surah in all my classes of marriage.
What?
Surah number 30,
no,
verse number 21. Okay. You can go ahead and read it in English.
Now I know it. I remember it.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. And among his signs is that he created for you wives from among yourselves that you may find repose in them. And he has put between you affection and mercy. Verily, in that are indeed signs for a people who reflect.
Okay. Actually, sisters, preservation, we will learn now about preservation of the wealth. Private wealth and property are the basis of the economy of the members of the society. Islam protects personal wealth and imposes very strict penalties against any violations. We will read now from Surah number 5, verse number 38, to learn about this fact. والسارق والسارقة فاقطعوا أيديهما جزاء بما كسبا نكالا من الله والله عزيز حكيم. Surah number 5, number 38.
And as for the male thief and the female thief, cut off from the restraint their right hands as a recompense for that which they committed, a punishment by way of example from Allah. And Allah is all-powerful, all-wise.
Again, sisters, it looks actually that this is a very severe punishment, and it is a very difficult punishment, you know, to cut from the wrist. You know, this is the right hand. If you know, it is proven that, you know, I steal something, you know, they will cut my hand, my right hand, up to the wrist. You know? Why? Because this means that I lost my hand. You know? And now I am a handicapped person. Okay? I paid very high price for my crime. Okay? This is number one. Number two, everyone in the community will know that I did that crime because, you know, everyone will know that I don't have, you know, a right hand up to the wrist. So, someone will question why it is a very tough and very severe punishment, because again and again, sisters, as I clarified to you, when the human beings will realize that the punishment for the crime is very severe, they will try to avoid that crime by all the means. You know, suppose now I am in a jewelry, shop, for example, and no one is around, and I like, you know, special kind of rings, okay? And, you know, Shaitan told me just to get it and put it in your pocket. Put it in your pocket. You know, that the owner of the shop is very rich, and you are very poor. What is the problem? Just take it and ask forgiveness from Allah. You know, this is the shaitan. But if I am aware that I will lose my hand up to the wrist, I will never look to the ring. You know, I will never look to anything which may excite me, and then the shaitan, you know, will whisper to me to steal. I will be all the time away. When you will tell me, suppose I am another person, you know, I am very poor, and but I like gold, then you tell me, Mona, let us go to that gold shop and take a look. I tell you, no, never. Never, never, never. I am very weak when I see the gold, and I cannot pretend what I will do. Maybe Shaitan will tell me, just catch anything and hide it. Then I will lose my hand. I am very sorry. I will be away. You see, you will try to avoid, you know, any way to the crime.
Does this apply to, like, food?
This is
people that are starving.
Starvation, it is not applied.
Okay.
At the time of starvation, it is not applied. But it is applied, you know, in the normal time. Mm-hmm. You know, when everything is around, people are in a good shape. You know, and the food.
They still do this in
Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. You know, because it is the only country following the Islamic law. Mm-hmm. You know, they did this. You know, but actually they did it in a very small scale. You know, they always try to find an excuse to avoid it. Mm-hmm. So it is not, you know, practiced as 100%. You think. No, not in any, actually, 1%. It is not practiced up to 1%. They always find an excuse. But again and again, sisters, you know, I want to tell you one thing, you know. Maybe 10 years ago, I was all the time, you know, not clear regarding this severe punishment in Islam. You know, for any crime, there is a severe punishment. If someone kills someone, he must be killed. If you steal, you must lose your hand. If you have a relation, you must have, you know, a very severe punishment. So I was all the time questioning the weakness of the human being, you know, and to compare it with this severe punishment. But the more I become older, the more I know life, the more I learn, you know, about the weakness of the human being, I realize that the only way to prevent the spirit from doing, or the human being from doing any crime, is to fear the severe punishment. This is the only way, you know, to protect you from doing anything wrong. Even try to, you know, to observe this with the kids, you know. If your child will realize that if he will do any mistake, there will be a severe punishment, okay, just warning. You are not planning to harm your child because you are a mother, you know. But the only way, you know, this is what I realized also with the child, is that they will realize that there is a severe punishment. The second the human spirit realizes the punishment, the second the spirit will decide to forget about it. And by this way, you know, you save your kid from doing something wrong. And you save yourself from committing crimes, okay, and doing sins.
How? By realization that there is a severe punishment. So keep me away, you know, from this. Your spirit will all the time send for you the message, be away, be away. I cannot lose my hand. I cannot be killed. I cannot be punished. Okay, and this is actually, sister, this is the best way. Now I realize this, and I will tell you why. This is the best way to avoid crimes and sins, is to warn the people regarding the severe punishment. But if there is no severe punishment, you know, or people can escape while they do crimes, okay, life will be full of crimes. So actually, sisters, we must learn that Islam has banned all types of transgression against any private ownership. We will read from Surah number 2, verse number 180. الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل وتدلوا بها إلى الحكام لتأكلوا فريقا من أموال الناس بالإثم وأنتم تعلمون.
One another's property unjustly in any illegal way, nor give bribery to the rulers, judges, before presenting your cases, that you may knowingly eat up a part of the property of others sinfully.
So actually, sister, today we learn about the five basic needs of human existence, which Islam preserves: the preservation of the divine religion, the self, the mind, the honor, the family, and the wealth. And inshallah, we will continue learning about justice in Islam next class, inshallah, and let us make the dua. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Oh, our Lord, inspire us with good evil from our evil. Amen. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. Amen. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. Amen. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds, our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life, our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life, the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after this. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. See you, inshallah, next week.